This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Dr. Edith Hill is Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University and our regular drive guide to all things TikTok, YouTube, and social media. But Edith's heading off on maternity leave, and tonight she's leaving us with a wrap-up of her favourite topics and some brilliant accounts to follow while she's away. Edith, I'm sad but I'm excited for you. How are you?
Hi, I'm also sad but excited for our last chat for the year, but for the next 11 to 12-ish months, yeah. Which sounds like a really long time.
It will go so quickly, and then before we know it, you'll be back. You'll have to keep us posted on how things are going. But let's start off with family vloggers. We've spoken about them quite a lot here on Drive.
Yes, absolutely. This is one of the topics that anyone who's been listening or anyone who knows me in real life or through work or anything really knows that I'm very passionate about family channels and about how people share their children or talk about their children in online spaces. And I guess I just wanted to reiterate those feelings and encourage people to always continue questioning and thinking about who you're consuming, how you're consuming them, and really encourage parents out there to seek out good, legitimate resources on how they can be more productive about either sharing their children or protecting their children when they think about, you know, social media and their children's identity online.
Now, these channels, I mean, they can feel warm and relatable, can't they? But they often create a product out of a private life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of the really popular family channels out there really do rely on the labour and unpaid labour of children that is not properly compensated for, especially when you consider the impact that that lack of privacy could have on that person's development as they get older. That is not to say that the same impact will happen if you're just sharing pictures of your beautiful children on Instagram, but you still need to be considering how you're sharing those pictures, the types of images you're sharing, and who is going to be able to access that content. And always, you know, check your privacy settings.
Edith, the thing that always gets me is, I mean, kids can't grasp what it means to be filmed, can they? Or to be monetized from the film, yet the parents go ahead and do it knowing full well that they're going to make some money out of it. So there's no, it's the consent that's the issue there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the consent. It's the thinking about what would your child be happy with when they're a year from now, when they're 15, when they're 18, when they're applying for their first job, even when they're in primary school. And what if their friends have been able to find old home videos of them online that they might, you know, be embarrassed by? All of those are very legitimate feelings. And there are things that I think a lot of parents wouldn't necessarily consider as an invasion of privacy because it's a very sweet moment with a baby or a young child. But that child could have a lot of complex feelings about when they get older. And this is not by any means a black and white discussion, but it's definitely something that my partner and I have been talking about, thinking about, you know, bringing a child into the world. And I'm a very online person, but what is that going to look like for us and how we're going to be taking steps to protect that child as they get older?
Edith, if someone wants a bit of a deeper dive into ethical parenting and digital life, where can they go?
There are a lot of really good resources out there. If I was going to recommend one, it would be the digitalchild.org.au. This is a research centre runs this site in Australia, and they have lots of resources for parents and children thinking about online safety and digital footprints and things like that. It's a really good starting off point to go from. And a lot of the researchers who work there are just some of the most brilliant people. They by no means know that I'm spreading their website out to people. It's just a resource I found really helpful in my own research during my PhD and as someone thinking about parenting in the future, which feels a bit horrifying to say when I'm not there yet, but very close on the cusp of parenting.
Edith, now what if while you're away we need a little light in our feed? Where can we go?
This was difficult to find who I wanted to talk about, because I love animals and animal videos so much, that the top TikTok account and Instagram account that I would recommend is the We Rate Dogs account. They do a little wrap up every week of the top dogs on the internet. They do really good work for charity. They help cover the costs of pets in need whose owners may not be able to afford extensive medical treatment. And as someone who has a dog who has required almost a house deposit's worth of vet bills in the past 5 years to keep her happy and healthy and alive. Shout out to my three-legged cancer-ridden staffy Jemima, who's 13 years old. We love Jemima, but they do a lot of really good work. Good work with their merch, which is actually very cute merch. And they donate money. They do good things. And even if you don't want a bar of that, they have videos of dogs every week. And who can complain when there are cute dogs coming up on your feed?
Now, Edith, let's spotlight some of your favourite creators who use their platforms for good quietly.
Yes. Okay. So, I may mention people who I didn't send to you on the list because I kept thinking about people all day after I sent email to you and and Con. So, we mentioned these two recently. One is Clean with B, B-E-A, who does free cleanings, extensive industrial cleanings for people who may not be able to clean for themselves, who would be living with a disability or who have come under, you know, emotional distress recently or are having issues with their housing that have meant that they haven't been able to clean for themselves. And she does these cleanings and raises money through her platform to fund cleanings for people who would not be able to afford a cleaner to the extent that they need one. The next person is Uncle John, who builds and fixes things in his community. He goes by the Uncle John Show, and he just goes around and makes his community a better and brighter place by putting in pathways, rebuilding letterboxes and fences for his neighbours, and is just on a bit of a mission to kind of go around and improve the lives of people in his community.
Love it. Any others that we should look out for?
Yes, one that popped into my head after I sent you the email this morning. Now, his screen name is Purple Pingers. Take that with a grain of
Purple
salt.
Pingers.
But his name is Jordan, and he talks about, very passionately about the housing crisis in Australia. He does a lot of good advocacy work. You may have seen him on shows like The Project. He does a lot of media kind of comms stuff, but is very, very open and vocal on his individual social media platforms. So if you Google Purple Pingers, his platforms will come up. And he talks about, housing and how unfair the housing crisis is right now, and is a very strong advocate for young people and people with disabilities who are trying to find housing, who the system is realistically completely stacked against them.
Edith, one of the topics that's very dear to me is how can we be smarter scrollers? We know how damaging social media can be. We know how damaging misinformation can be and how people can claim that they're experts when clearly they're not. Let's talk about how we can be smarter scrollers and perhaps not fall for some of the pitfalls that are out there.
Yeah, this is a huge topic that I'm very passionate about. And I think, started way back when, before I was doing a PhD, when I was just a teenager with an Instagram account and nowhere to go but deep into the pit of Instagram. It's a little worrying how much misinformation is spread online. And I found this a lot recently, being someone who is pregnant. And of course, my algorithm has changed significantly because as soon as you Google that you're buying a pram, oh my God, the amount of ads and accounts that I have been shown about motherhood and childbirth and breastfeeding and all of these things. And a lot of that information, I've been talking to my medical professional friends and people who I'm involved with, like my obstetrician and midwife, and realizing that that level of misinformation can even affect people like myself, and I consider myself a very digitally literate kind of person, but these things can still really bleed into your life and into your sphere and affect you in ways you may not consider. So when you think about being a critical consumer online, obviously fact check as much stuff as you can. Always look for accounts of people who have qualifications. Take everything with a grain of salt that you find online, and just be really, I keep saying critical, but really critically think about the things you are consuming and what are people benefiting from by sharing stories and sharing information. Is that content monetized? Are there brand deals? Are there products behind these videos that they might be profiting off of? It's all those little things kind of compiled together that will make you a more a smarter online consumer.
What should a great feed, what should it do to us?
like a social media feed, you mean?
Yeah, like should it uplift us? Should it inform us? Should it, should it, I suppose, make us reflect?
Yeah. Look, everyone uses social media for a different purpose, right? I love being informed as much as humanly possible, but like everyone, I have my limits, that the amount of things that I can take in a day can be really overwhelming. I saw a post from a friend on Instagram right before I hopped on today saying, oh, of course, scrolling and seeing war and protest on my feed and then an ad for moisturizer and then jumping back to Trump isn't going to do irreparable brain damage. And it was making me think about, you know, what do we want to have online and what should our feeds look like? Of course, it is completely up to the individual, but I don't think it's necessarily healthy to finish scrolling at end of the night with a sense of dread in your chest, because that's not productive for anyone. But thinking about finding a balance and interacting with things to signal to your algorithm what you want to be consuming. I get a lot of gardening content because that brings me a lot of peace, but I also get a lot of content about the state of the world and what's happening in America and what's happening in Gaza and all of those things because of what I interact with and what I'm choosing to engage with. And I try and find that balance for myself.
Sometimes the algorithm gets it wrong, though. I mean, I had to look for something this week that involved a piece of electrical equipment. And for some reason now, they think I'm an electrician and I'm getting meter boxes, fuse boards, all sorts of things, generators. Alec, I got it wrong. And this was just from one search. I need one bit of electrical equipment and that's it. And now it just thinks that I'm this electrician, which I'm not.
It's truly wild how much they listen. My husband came into the room the other day and said, hey, can you put in another toilet paper order? Because we order online from a company that does toilet paper and paper towels without plastic wrapping, and we buy them in bulk. And literally the next time I opened up Facebook, the first ad I saw was from that company advertising the exact package of toilet paper and paper towels that we order. It was, honestly, why am I surprised? It's expected at this point.
Edith, we're sending you so much love and gratitude. Thank you for being such a thoughtful, curious and compassionate voice on our airwaves. We've learned a lot from you. Thank you so much. And we
thank
wish you
all
so
the
best
much.
With the baby.
I really appreciate it. Fingers crossed they don't get too big because we're already growing substantially and I'm getting a little bit nervous. But everything will be fine. I will let you know when we have a new friend entering the world. And hopefully I'll be back not too soon. Don't miss me too much.
We will miss you. But good luck. Thank you, Edith.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Bye. Edith Peel, Associate Lecturer from Flinders University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.